2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3, listen to the word of God. I thank my God, whom I serve from my fathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Keep your place there. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Your Family and Your Church. As my parents were raising their family, they understood that to have a strong, godly family, they needed to have the support of the church. And my love for the church began when I was a child, and that love has only increased throughout the years. I love the church. And today I want to help your family by showing you from the scriptures the partnership that you can and should have with the church. The story is told of two men riding a tandem bicycle up a steep hill. After much effort, they finally made it to the top of the hill. The front rider said, "Boy, that was a tough ride." To which the second rider replied, "Sure was, and if I hadn't kept the brake on, we might have slipped backwards." So this morning, I want you to understand that the family and the church should work in harmony. Not in opposition against each other, but in great harmony. You see, God has instituted three institutions. One, the family. Two, the church. And three, government. And we find that the family and the church ought to work together. The church is never. I say this to the Sunday school teachers. I say this to our youth pastor, that we are never to take place of the parents' role that they have in their own family. But we have a great opportunity to come alongside you, and if you would, be like a support system, supporting you with the Word of God, supporting you through friendship and fellowship. So it really does and ought to work together. And so I want you to notice with me from the Word of God this morning, some things about this partnership between your family and your church. Would you notice with me, first of all, that this partnership begins at the point of salvation? Notice now with me, if you would, at verse number 5. Paul here is the author of this particular book. He is writing to Timothy, a young man in the ministry, a young man as a pastor. And notice now in verse number 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that is a pure faith, that which is without hypocrisy. He says, an unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So this partnership between your family and your church begins at the point of salvation. Timothy here, Paul noted, had the possession of salvation. It says here two words, in thee. Paul says, I am persuaded that this unfaith is in you. Now the question comes, when did Timothy receive Jesus as his Savior? Go to chapter 3 and look at verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So even though the Bible isn't explicitly clear as far as the exact day and time and so forth, it does give us indication that mother and grandmother had a great influence in Timothy's life to teach him the Word of God and the way of salvation as a child. And so somewhere along the line, I believe it was in his youth, when he came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He was able to say along with his mentor, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Timothy was able to say, "I know that Christ lives in me." Are you able to say that this morning? Are you able to say that Jesus Christ is your Savior? In this context, we find very clearly that Timothy had this possession. Obviously, his grandmother had the possession of Jesus' Savior and also his mother. But notice also that there was a powerful influence involved in his life. I've already alluded to it. His grandmother. I thank God for my grandmother, who is now with the Lord, but she was a faithful Sunday school teacher. She was a faithful Christian. She loved to listen to the Word of God and listen to Bible teachers such as the late Oliver B. Green. I realize that name may not mean anything to most of you, but he was a preacher of yesteryear, and she loved to listen. And I got all of his commentaries from my grandmother. She bought all of those, and then when she passed, my dad gave me those commentaries. And she had a great influence in my life. But then I think about in this context that Timothy also had a powerful influence through his mother, where his mother had come alongside him and had taught him the way of salvation. Timothy could say what an old preacher used to say, "All that I have ever accomplished, I owe to my mother." And I would stand before you this morning and say that very same thing. My mother had and has a great influence in my life. I called my mother this week, and some of you know that she is in the stages of Alzheimer's, and kind of a conversation, you talk to her, and about a minute later, she'll ask you the same question that you answered a minute ago. So you're just patient with that. And the other day, she says, "Son, you're about making me ready to cry." I thought, "Man, what am I saying that's making you cry?" But she says, "Oh, son, you sound so good." And but I think about those days of my mom. When she would, many times, her and dad, they would have their time alone with the Lord by themselves. And many times I would see my mom at the kitchen table with her little devotional book along with the Bible. And there were times I would open my bedroom door, and there I would see mom at the kitchen table with her hands in her head praying. She had a powerful influence in my life. I remember her teaching a group of children. It was called Child Evangelism. Some of you might remember that organization. And she would gather some of the neighborhood's kids together, and she would teach the curriculum, and she would teach them the way of salvation and how that they could be saved. My mother was a great woman of prayer. You may not believe this, but some of you may. But when my mom would drive into town and she would have to park downtown, she would already be in the spirit of prayer and saying something like this: "Now, Lord, I ask of you that you would provide a parking space downtown. You know how busy it is down there, but Lord, would you provide?" And many times I had the opportunity to be in the car with her, and guess what? It didn't mean much to me, quite frankly, at that time in my life. But now, as I look back on it, my mom would pray about something simple as, "Lord, even provide a parking spot." I'm telling you, she had a strong influence upon me spiritually. And it is a blessing to have a mother that is a saved mother, one who knows that she is on her way to heaven. Moms, do you know that? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Timothy's grandmother and mother had that strong confidence. And so this relationship between your family and your church begins at the point of salvation. But secondly, it continues through the process of discipleship. Notice now with me in chapter 3 and verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then again he goes into verse 15, talking about you've been able to know the scriptures since you were a little boy. So discipleship begins also and comes from the family. Mom and Dad, if I could just talk to you for a moment. Do you take time to read the Word of God with your children? And, yea, may I say, even your teenagers? You see, the Bible says this in Deuteronomy, and thou shalt teach them, speaking to the parents, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, in that Old Testament setting, the parents had the responsibility to come alongside their children and talk of the Word of God as they rise up, as they go through the day, as they retire at night. You say, well, does that mean I have to carry my Bible around 24/7? No, I'm not saying that. But you have the opportunity with real life events that happen in your children's life, in your teenager's life, to come alongside them and say, okay, what can we learn from this? And give them a Bible principle to apply. It's just speaking of the Word of God. And this becomes very practical in your family when you can do this. Taking time as a family. Some of you remember, because some of you tell me this, that you can remember that supper time was family time. You know, I mean, it was like, that's when the whole family got together. You talked about the affairs of the day. You talked about any difficulties if you had. You enjoyed a good meal. But now, in our hurry-up society in which we live, a lot of family members, they just say, hey, Dad, hi, Mom, you know, and so forth. It goes quickly. Everybody's moving fast. And before you know it, that little baby will be walking down an aisle someday, graduating from high school. Before you know it, that young lady will be walking down the aisle, giving her heart and arm, if you would, to some young man in marriage. And then you'll sit there as parents and say to yourself, where did the time go? My wife and I have experienced that. But I tell you, it was a joy of ours. I'm not saying it was always easy. After all, I had three girls. Love them so dearly. But I'm telling you, we had the great responsibility in their everyday life to talk of the things of the Lord and to deal with things. I mean, we tried to make it practical in their life. One of the things, because we homeschooled our girls and they graduated, and one graduated from Bible college, but I think about how that we realized that if we were going to homeschool, which we made that decision, that we also wanted them to be involved in their community. So we got them involved in Swartz Creek softball. And boy, did I get involved. You said, I thought you said they got, well, you got to remember, I was third base coach and wherever else I could fit in. My girls always say something, Dad, today would you just kind of be low-key, you know, just enjoy the game. But we did that, and I'm telling you what, I could take you to some young people in our community who came to this church a few years ago because my girls invited their friends to Vacation Bible School, invited them to teen events, and they had an influence that, because I wanted them not only just to have fun, we got them involved in gymnastics and so forth, but in so doing, they used it as an opportunity, like a mission field. And they would get to know these girls, and they would just get involved in their lives. They would go to their swimming parties and so forth. And it was just encouraging to disciple, if you would, our daughters, to help them grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. That was exactly what Eunice and Lois were doing. They were not only introducing salvation to Timothy, they were helping him grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But then there was discipleship, not only from them, but also from Paul. Look in chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy, you remember, you hold fast to that which I instructed you. I mentored you along the way. I told you how to be a faithful preacher of the Word of God. I taught you how to be a faithful man of God. Now, Timothy, you hold fast to that sound word that I have given to you. And then, discipleship with others. Look at this in chapter 2 and verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, parents, if you would, listen. I preached last week about the importance of just being faithful to the worship of church, to the worship of God in church. But today I want you to think about this with me. And this is where I say this partnership comes in. And I want to say one thank you to all of your parents, whether you are members or not, to allowing us the opportunity to come alongside your children and instill in them the teachings of the Word of God. We don't take your place, but we have the opportunity, and we just say thank you for entrusting us with that responsibility. But I tell you this morning, your children can come here at the 9:30 hour and have a class on their grade level and hear the Word of God taught. They can come, and as they did this morning, you saw them leave, and right now they're having church on their level, as we say. And they sing children's songs and so forth, and they hear the Word of God being taught, and they enjoy it. On Wednesday nights, we have a ministry here called Patch Club, and where these children hear the Word of God again. In other words, there's these venues, and then you heard Pastor Chris announce an activity on this upcoming Saturday. And it's not just for the children, but also we have a teen class. The more that they can be exposed, the better off they will be. Because I tell you this morning that as they go to their individual schools, they're not going to get, if you would, biblical instruction. But here is a place that they can get it. And so the family and the church can work together in this area. Paul ministered to Timothy. Mom ministered to Timothy. Grandmother ministered to Timothy. The family was working together. Paul then instructs Timothy how to be a faithful preacher of the Word of God. And it all worked together. The family wasn't taking place of the church, and the church wasn't taking place of the family. They were working together. But notice this also this morning, that this partnership flourishes through the power of service. Look in chapter 1 now, verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, there was this acknowledgement that Timothy was called to go into the ministry. God called him. Timothy responded, and we find in the context that Timothy became a faithful preacher of the Word. Hold it now. Where did that begin? I believe it began back there with Mom and Grandma, just sprinkling, if you would, into his thoughts the Word of God so he could know Jesus as Savior, so that he could live a life yielded to him. Now think about this. As church and family work together, this partnership can flourish through the power of service. One of the things that I think is so powerful in your family life is serving the Lord together when you come together as a family. Now stay with me. Serving the Lord together. One of the things that we do here in this church, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to do it, is that on a quarterly basis we have what is called our food distribution. And what thrills me about this is that there are some families that work out there in that barn together, putting the food together in boxes and so forth. And it's just a thrill to my heart as your pastor to see you working together as a family, serving the Lord together as a family. That's where it's really all, where it is. That's where it really begins to just make sense in your family. That when families come together, not only worshiping like you are right now, but you take what you learn and serve the Lord together. Go on a missions trip together. Make an impact in your community together. Now notice that this power of service, Timothy had to be courageous in doing it. Look at verse number 7, same chapter, verse 1. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy did have some difficulty at one point in his life being courageous in his service. Paul was in bonds. Paul knew what it was like to be in and out of prison. And he says, now, Timothy, don't you be ashamed of me, a prisoner of the Lord. Don't you be ashamed of my bonds. Timothy, embrace it. Be courageous when you serve the Lord. Also, be consistent. Look in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse number 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be an example, Timothy, of the believers in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith and purity. In other words, Timothy, be a man who is consistent. Be a great example. Then, Timothy, as you serve, serve carefully, because in chapter 3 and verse number 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So as you serve together as a family, you can do it carefully. Because what a great privilege it is to serve the Lord as a family together through your local church. And then do it charitably. Chapter 1 and verse number 5 says this, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. You've heard the old saying, some of you have, that the family that prays together stays together. But let me add this one. The family that serves together grows together. You see, Joshua of old said this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I made that decision early on. My wife and I made this decision early on that when God would bless us with children, we would serve the Lord together. We didn't know what other families would do, but in our house, we were going to serve the Lord. I'm so thankful. I have seen my one daughter, my oldest daughter, take a missions trip all the way over to India. There's some stories I could tell you about that, and you may be thinking as yourself, as a parent, what in the world was I thinking? Let her going that far. Now, she went with a group of people, but you know, she grew through that. All three of my daughters went with me twice to New York City on a missions trip, and we took other teenagers from our church, and we serve the Lord together, and we have made lasting memories together serving the Lord. What a great way for you to just take your family that God has given you and to say, you know, in our house, we will serve the Lord together. I told you that my parents raised their family in church. I was raised in what they call today a blended family. I have three sisters. I have two brothers. But my parents came together. I was about 3 years of age when my dad, and I call him my dad, came into my life. He was saved as a teenager, got away from the Lord. Then he began to get right with God and live for him thereafter. But my parents raised their family in church. My parents understood that they couldn't raise their family alone, so they got involved in vibrant churches. Time would not allow this morning for me to tell you about several of these churches that we were involved in. My parents weren't church hoppers. It's just that through my dad's work, we moved a lot. And so we were involved in vibrant churches, churches that taught us the Word of God and so forth. It was in Sunday school that I learned to memorize Bible verses. It was in the morning service, listening to my pastor preach, as I am preaching this morning as a 9-year-old boy, that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I understood, even as a 9-year-old boy, we didn't have children's church then, but I understood what he was saying, and I knew Jesus. I needed Jesus as my Savior. It was at the age of 14 that I preached my first sermon in church. It was at a New Year's Eve service. Churches back then used to have New Year's Eve services. And it was there that my pastor allowed me the opportunity to preach. It was in church that I had encouragers come alongside me to confirm my call to preach. It was in church that I met my wife. I'll never forget, there she was. I would go home during the summer and work for my dad, make enough money to get me through college for the next year. But I would look up in that choir, and there she was. I thought, great, she's the one. I didn't even know her name yet, but I knew she was the one. But my heart sunk when I saw her get out of the choir and go sit in the pew beside two children. I thought, man, you got to be kidding me. Come to find out, they were her niece and nephew. And then my sister played matchmaker because I wasn't brave enough to ask her out on my own. I know you can't believe that, but that's how it was. And then a few months later, I don't recommend this, teenagers. I know you're not thinking about marriage right now, but when you get to that point, don't do what I'm about to tell you to do. Don't ask your future spouse, guys, to marry you over the telephone. That's the chicken way out. But that's what I did. I was in college. Now, I did make it more official. Once I finished up my school year at college, went back to La Crosse, Wisconsin, met her parents. If you ever met my dad or father-in-law, sometimes you just don't know if he's joking or serious. And so I met him for the first time, and he said, you know, there's a man in the Bible that had to work for his wife for 7 years. I thought, I know how that story ended. Not going there. Sorry. I didn't tell him that. But anyway, he gave me permission, and I went out and made it more official. But I'm telling you, where did that start? It started in church. Why? Because as a boy, my parents. I never felt like I was drugged to church. Back when I became 16 years old and got my license, and it was rare this happened, but when my mom and dad were just too tired and just didn't want to go a Sunday night service, I said, "Dad, can I go?" He gave me the keys, and I went off to church. I loved being in church. But they stirred that appetite when I was just a little boy. I'm telling you this morning that all of this was possible because my parents understood something. The unique partnership between the family and the church. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect church. But the two can and ought to work together. Now listen carefully as I close. This partnership begins at salvation. Mom, are you saved? Dad, are you saved? Teenagers, are you saved? Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Today, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for He's the only way that your sins can be forgiven. You see, if you don't know Him as Savior, and even though you may have a good family, this part of your family life needs to begin for you at the point of salvation. Come to Jesus today. Receive Him as your Savior. And then as you do, let it continue through the faithful teaching of the Word of God. You say, "Well, I wouldn't even know where to begin." It's amazing that as you just take the Word of God and just read a few verses and pray together as a family, you don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to give explanation. Just read a few verses, pray together. That in itself can be powerful in your family. But don't let it go by. Don't let your family grow, grow, and grow, and soon out of the house without them having been strongly influenced by dad, by mom, through the Word of God and praying together. Then flourish, serve together as a family. In this local church, find something you can do as a family unit to serve in this place. What a joy. The Bible says that we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. And so today, an unusual, I realize, Mother's Day message. But I want you to see that Timothy became the man of God he was because there was a grandmother and a mother who took the Word of God and taught him how he could be saved, how he could grow in the Lord, how he could become a man of God. One day, as your children grow up, will they be able to look back and say, "I am where I am today because I had a faithful mom who taught me the Word of God"? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, Father, I thank you today for the power of your Word. Thank you for the influence of mothers. And I ask that today you would strengthen our mothers here, that you would help them to go your way and to live for you in these days. I realize that we're living in a time in which the family unit is under assault today in a big time way. And so it may seem like to live for God is all uphill, but give strength to moms, to dads. Help them to be faithful to live for you. Help them to partner together with their local church and grow their family in the things of the Lord. Strengthen this partnership, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now their heads bowed and their eyes closed.